are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Is Matt Burt here tonight? Matt Burt's not here tonight. I was I did a bit of prep for my sermon on Saturday morning here when no one was here, and I thought I'd try Matt Burt's trick and go past and have a look at the mirror as I'm in the office, and I thought I'd go past and see what all the fuss was about. There wasn't much fuss about the mirror when I walked past, I can tell you. I tried to flick my hair back and there was no point flicking the hair back. So I'll have to let Matt know that it's all going to get very tiring doing that over a long period of time, so maybe he needs to stop. But one of the things that really came to me when I was when I was downstairs and I was just preparing early yesterday morning, I just had a real sense of God and a sense that he just prompted me to say it is just an awesome privilege to be able to share his word. And I count it a privilege to be able to get up and share his word. And, you know, there was just a real sense of how his word is life-changing and powerful. And I think it's a privilege for all of us to hear his word. And sometimes we take it for granted. And so just before I pray, I just want to say I'm not taking for granted the fact that I get to share his word up here. And so I hope you don't take for granted the fact that we get to sit under his word and it's life-changing and powerful. So let's pray. God, we just thank you for your word, and we know it's life-changing and we know it's powerful. Lord, I pray that we don't take it for granted and that we listen to what your word is saying. We listen to your spirit. And Father, I pray that you'll go before me in everything I say tonight. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. So tonight I want to share on the subject of kingdom growth. As if you haven't been around for the start of the year, Andy a couple of weeks ago presented that we're going to do grow through the year. And I just think that's an incredible subject. And so I was sitting here in church a couple of weeks ago, and God gave me these three really quick things as I was sitting on the front seat. And I thought, that's what I'm going to speak about. And it was just one of those moments that it just came really fast. He gave me a parable, and he gave me three quick things. And so tonight, I want to share around this parable on kingdom growth. And so if you want to turn your Bibles to Mark 4, 26 to 29. And as I do a lot of the time, I love the Amplified Version. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. So let's read. Then he said, "The kingdom of God is like a man who throws seed on the ground. And he goes to bed at night and he gets up every day. And in the meantime, the seed sprouts and grows. How it does this, he does not know. The earth produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head of grain, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop ripens, he immediately puts it to the sickle to reap, because the time for the harvest has come." I want you to repeat after me these three things. Lean on, hold on, and go on. Lean on, hold on, go on. Okay, don't forget that. This particular parable is only recorded in the book of Mark. And whereas other parables talk about the soil, this parable highlights the seed. In verse 26, as in many other parables, it begins with "the kingdom of heaven is like." And so when we see the kingdom of heaven, when we see the kingdom talks about, this speaks of royal power, it speaks of kingship, it speaks of dominion and rule. See, Jesus said that his kingdom wasn't of this world. But he did say to pray this way: "Your kingdom come," which is your kingdom, royal power, kingship, dominion, and rule. "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." So as much as he said his kingdom wasn't of this world, he said, "Let your kingdom come to earth. And if we have a look at a scripture in 1 Peter, it says, "For you have been born again, that is, born from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose, not of seed which is imperishable," so we see the seed, "not of seed which is perishable, but from that which is imperishable." Not of seed which is perishable, but from that which is imperishable and immortal, that is, through the living and everlasting word of God. See, eternal kingdom seed, when we're born again, it's not of this world, but able to bring heaven to earth. As Jesus said, we pray, let heaven come to earth, your kingdom come, your will be done. In Genesis 1:11, we haven't got the scripture on the board, it says, "So God said, let the earth sprout tender vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit according to, limited to, consistent with their kind, whose seed is in them upon the earth." And so it was so. So that was talking about true vegetation. We know that for a tree, the right soil, the right water and sun and protection, for the most part, the tree is going to grow when it gets those things. With kingdom growth, we know some things, but we don't totally know. As we see in verse 27, it says, if we can put that scripture back up, Josh, that'd be awesome. Thanks, mate. It says, "The seed sprouts and grows. How it does, he does not know." No, go back to Mark 4. Josh, thank you. We got that. So we see that in verse 27. "And he goes to bed at night and gets up every day. And in the meantime, the seed sprouts and grows. How it does, he does not know." And this is what the kingdom of God is like. See, with kingdom growth, we know some things, but we don't totally know. How often are we amazed by God's workmanship? In God, all things are possible. We know that the right environment a life is in is healthy, but the way the kingdom of God works can often blow us away by the outcomes. As opposed to KPIs, growth charts and business models, kingdom growth is different. God uses people like Gideon to win a battle, who was the least in his own family. We see the walls of Jericho come down in a way that you wouldn't expect to come down by marching around the city walls. We don't expect that to happen. We see David to bring down Goliath. He's the youngest in his family, least expected to have an impact. He's a shepherd boy, and we see Mary, a virgin, to give birth to the King of Kings. And we look at it, and when we see that scripture, we see the growth, and we say, well, we just don't know how it happened. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That is one of the unknowns that we have as Christians. It's one of the unknowns. If we have a look at Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding." There are some things we just do not know. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. My role, your role, isn't to worry about outcomes or the end result, because we just don't know. We don't know how our life is going to outwork. We need to have faith. See, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. We need to trust, and we need to obey. Of course, out of relationship, and we see Jesus only did, this is what he says, and the Gospels say, Jesus only did what the Father asked him to do. He only did. Oh, for us, if we only did what God asked us to do. And there's some blindness in us where we think, man, I don't know whether I can cross this line. I don't know whether I can do this, but we've got to blindly trust and obey. And we don't know. We need to lean on, we need to hold on, and we need to go on. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit guiding, leading, transforming, growing, changing. How God does this, we don't totally know or understand. We need to lean on, hold on, and go on. Now, the other day I was at home and I was doing some cooking. I love cooking, and I really do enjoy cooking nice things for our family, and so it's good fun. And I was cooking an apple pie, and I like, well, apple crumble really, and it's a really good apple crumble. If you ever want to come and try it, is it a good apple crumble? Amazing apple crumble. And so part of the ingredients is a lemon, and so I thought I'll go out to our lemon tree and see if I can get a lemon off the lemon tree. And so, what's your lemon tree's better than that one, is it? Okay. If anyone needs any lemons, go to Nick's house tonight, straight after the service, and grab a lemon. So this lemon tree's got a bit of a story attached to it, but I'll come to that. And this lemon tree was here. This was here when we bought the house, and I went to get a lemon off the lemon tree, and I couldn't get a lemon off the lemon tree. And so when we look at this, there was no, essentially I couldn't take the fruit off the lemon tree, and so it wasn't quite ready. And when I tell a story in a couple of minutes, you'll get an understanding of why that happens. But just coming back to what I said about lean on, hold on, and go on, I want to start with lean on. And so keep that in mind. But with a tree like that and with other trees that we've been associated with and that I've had, we had a tree at the front of our place in Lilydale, and it needed a couple of stakes beside it. Now, I know if you're a tree person here and you're all over the tree thing, I'm not saying that every tree needs a stake, but some trees need to be staked because they need a little help. And sometimes it's to do with the ground, it's to do with everything that's going on around it. And so when we consider lean on, when we consider growth and we consider that kingdom growth and not knowing, there are some times where we've just got to lean on God's promises. We need to lean on God's promises. And we may not totally know or totally understand them, but we've got to lean on them. And if we see, I just want to look at Proverbs 3 verse 5 again, and it says, "Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding." You know, when a tree's young and it's got stakes or a stake beside it, it tends to grow in the direction you would hope it is if it's been properly staked. And it's like those stakes are like God's promises. And so as the tree grows, that direction, it continues, you hope to go in the right direction and fulfills to be a great tree and a strong tree. And with God and with God's kingdom and with God's kingdom growth, we allow those things and we lean on them. And as the tree doesn't need the stakes anymore, those things are what hold it sure. They're God's promises that hold it in place. And what are some of the promises? Well, that He's our Father. Now, I know for some people, they might have grown up not being Christian and had a bad father. They might have had a horrible father experience. And they become a Christian and they find out that God is our Father. And they need that as a promise in their life going forward as a stake to hold them in place so they don't get lost along the way. God is faithful. We sang a song about God's faithfulness. For some people, they've had unfaithfulness in their life, and they become a Christian and they find out that God is faithful, and they need to hang on to that promise. They need to have that stake to hold on to. Other promises are, He is with us always. He is love. Some people are unloved, and they find God, and they find that He is love. And for someone like me, who's grown up in church, one promise is, you know, that hymn that we sung all the time as a kid, Jesus loves me, this I know. It's a promise. Jesus loves me, this I know. He's given us the Holy Spirit. It's a promise. He's given us the Holy Spirit. They're promises. They're stakes in the ground that help us to grow in the right direction. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. And He's given us choice. They're all promises that we need to know and we need to understand. When I was about 17 or 18, I'd become a Christian, and this scripture is something that was one of those promises, one of those stakes in the ground that I have never, ever forgotten. And if we just put it up on the screen, Josh, Psalm 139, 1 to 10. And I remember, I was listening to Michael W. Smith, believe it or not, and it was a live set that he did. And in this particular live set, he read this, and I thought, that sounds awesome. And I chased it up when I was about 17 or 18, and it's never really left my side. It's been a stake in the ground for me. O Lord, You have searched me and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. It cannot attain it. Where shall I go from Your Spirit, or where shall I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You are there. It's a promise. If I make my bed in Sheol, You are there too. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me and Your right hand shall hold me. God never leaves us. That has been one of those stakes for me. And we've got to lean on, in terms of kingdom growth, we've got to lean on those things. It's just a must in our growth. And, you know, we lean on Scripture, we can also lean on others, and I don't want to harp on that, but sometimes there's seasonal times in our life when we've got to lean on others. And, you know, the Word talks a lot about that. Iron sharpens iron as one sharpens another. The second thing is, we've got to hold on. So we've got to lean on, we've got to hold on. See, circumstances take place that shake our faith. Some can be self-inflicted and some can be out of control. Now, if we can go to that next picture, Josh, that would be awesome. Okay, so this is, got a phone call. I was at church here about two years ago, and this branch just dropped. It just dropped, and we ended up taking this tree down. But under that tree is that lemon tree. And that lemon tree was growing nicely, and it took a bit of a beating that day. And I think it was almost cut in half, wasn't it? Yeah, it was pretty much cut in half. And the we thought it was the end for the lemon tree. We thought it was all over. The poor old lemon tree was gone. And it's really interesting when we think of holding on. There are some times in our life where things take place that are either self-inflicted or are others inflicted, and what happens is we get battered and bruised and we really struggle to get back on track. And that's a time sometimes we've just got to hold on. Now, I'm going to give this word, and I, like it was when I prepared this message, it came to me straight away for someone. There's someone here, and you can come and see me afterwards. and someone in your life, and you were travelling on beautifully in the things of God, and someone in your life had a massive fall, and it hit you along the way, and you never thought you'd recover, and still don't think you'll ever recover from that experience where someone else fell, and it really damaged your Christian walk, and you are still struggling with that. I want you to come and see me afterwards. And it was a real strong sense of God that he wants to do a healing in your life tonight. If that's you, it might be more than one, but I got a real strong sense of that's you. And sometimes this is what happens. Things happen outside of our control. And sometimes they're in our control. And they destroy lives, and sometimes they can put it. And look, there was a guy that we met up in Derby when I was on our trip around Australia, and I think I've told the story, and I'll briefly tell it. He was writing a book to disprove God, and I had a chat with him, and we just dialogued over a few things. And the reason he did that is because some inappropriate things had happened in a couple of the churches that he went to that were out of his hands but had affected him massively. And so those things really affected him, and he walked away from God. It's those times where we've got to hold on to the promises of God. We've got to hang on with all we've got. Now, they happen to all of us. Jesus said, there'll be trouble, but behold, I've overcome the world. And we've got to hang on. We've got to hold on sometimes. There's sometimes we've got to hold on. I remember when I was 17 or 18, I was in a great youth group down in Hastings, and there was a church split, and basically 40 or 50 kids got put back to 10, and I had to hang on to those promises. I had to hang on to those promises that because I saw so much inconsistency in what I'd seen, but I had to hang on. And we look at Psalm 63, we look at David, and David is in a situation which is partly self-inflicted, but partly out of his hands. His son Absalom was going to kill him, and he was on the run from Absalom. And, you know, you've got Psalm 63, Psalm 70, and Psalm 71, and look at what David is saying. He's hanging on for his life here. Oh God, you are my God, I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you. In this parched and weary land where there is no water, your unfailing love is better than life. He went back to the promises and life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. And down to verse 7, because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadows of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. Sometimes we've just got to hold on and we've got to hang on. And these are things that, you know, we just don't totally get the way the kingdom, but when we hold on, it just makes a difference in our growth. And so lastly, go on. This is going to be my last point. Even though we don't totally know, we must go on. And in 1 Corinthians 9, it says that we've got to run the race set out for us. We've got to win, run to win. And in Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with the endurance that the race that is set before us. Run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's seated at the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God. Let's not do verse 3 because of time. We've got to run the race. You've got to go on. Sometimes we've just got to go on. We've got to run the race. We've got to keep running. But it's the race that is set before us. It's the race set before you, Pat. It's your race. It's not my race. It's the race set before you, Hamish. It's not Graham's race. It's your race. It's not Andy's race. It's the race set before you. It's not Scott Morrison's race. It's the race set before you. No one else can run the race for you. You will produce crops of your own kind, as we saw in Genesis. It's no point running someone else's race It's no point going, I wish I could be like them, because you'll run out of puff and you won't go on. And yeah, you'll see inconsistencies and you'll think, why can't I have a race like theirs? It's not the one set out for you. Kingdom growth isn't about KPIs. You don't understand. You know, Gideon said, you know, I'm the least of my own family, but God had called him to a specific race. David was a shepherd boy, but God had called him to a specific race, and he put aside the armour that Saul had said, because he said, it's not set for me. We've got to run the race that God has set before us. We've got to go on. And tonight, if you're sitting here and going, I've been trying to run someone else's race, well, stop doing it. Run your own race. Stop looking around and comparing yourself. Run your own race. It'll produce crops, because God has created you in a special way, and you must go on and you must run your own race. If we can put the picture of the lemon tree up, I took that picture this morning. Now, this lemon tree has been through it, but it is producing fruit. And there's lots of, they're not yellow yet, but there's lots of green lemons on this lemon tree. And it is producing fruit. And it was staked when it was young. It copped a beating from a very big tree, which was out of its control. And it's recovered, and it's now producing fruit. Now, maybe KPIs would say, okay, that's had it, that tree, let's cut it off once it had that fall. That's the way the world works. But that's not the way the kingdom works. The kingdom doesn't work that way. Our God is an amazing God who makes, someone once said, makes a message out of the mess. It's your race. It will produce fruit. It may not come when you think. We don't know. It may not come when you expect. We don't know. But God's kingdom and authority is such that we need to hold on when we need to hold on. We need to lean on the promises that God has put there. And some of you need to revisit those that you've had as a young child or as a young kid. You need to revisit those promises. And we need to go on. We need to be who God has called us to be. You are no use to anyone being someone else. You need to be yourself. The lemon tree, after all it's been through, is producing lemons, created to do so. Not oranges, not anything else. It's running its race, the one set before it. Don't worry about the final result. Lean on. Hold on. And go on. Have faith. That's the way kingdom growth works. Trust and obey. That's the way kingdom growth works. Obedience can be a little bit of a word that people don't like. But you know what? Graham said it this morning. Obedience brings forth blessing. We may not understand it. It may not make sense. We may not know. But like the scripture in Mark says, in the meantime, it produced growth. It produced fruit. It produced crops that could be harvested. So in your own life, have faith. Trust and obey. How it outworks, you may not know. You may not see how it works totally. But it's really important that we don't worry about the exact steps, but we hold on. We go on and we lean on. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your kingdom growth. And Lord, we don't totally understand it. We don't totally know. But Lord, I pray that each of us would realise that it's our race. It's not someone else's. And we must go on. Lord, I pray that if we have been dealt a hard card, that we hold on to you in every way. And Lord, that we lean on you in your way, in your powerful way, in your promises. And so, Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. And I pray that we would remember your words and that we don't worry about the outcomes, but we just do what you've asked us to do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.